Good morning. Today is Monday, December the 7th. Joining us this morning is Eureka Police Chief Steve Watson. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
It's it's a double somber Monday the 7th this time around, isn't it? With Pearl Harbor Day plus with the big question marks and everything around the virus. So hopefully it will be a good Monday this afternoon around 8:30 in the afternoon, too.
Yeah, let's hope.
Yes, yes. All righty, Winston, why do we say it?
Where did India rubber get this name?
From a tree. A type of species that they get the rubber from. How's that, Steve? You go with that one?
I have no comment this morning. I'm waiting to hear the pearl of wisdom from your partner.
It was from the same mistake that led Columbus to think he had reached India when he discovered America led to peoples calling rubber India rubber. Columbus reported that on his second voyage, he found the natives of Haiti playing a game with balls made from the gum of a tree.
Oh.
Yeah, old Columbus was off a few miles, huh?
Yeah. Still glad he went, though. It's kind of like us, right? You go on a vacation, you make a wrong turn, and you discover something that's kind of cool.
Surprising how often that happens.
Yeah.
I really meant to do that all along, honey.
Yeah. Oh, yes, discovery by accident. Isn't that how so many things happen that we all embrace and incorporate?
Very true.
Oh, boy. So how was your weekend? You guys active at all, or was it a relatively calm weekend?
We had an incident, a shooting over the weekend, not fatal, only semi-cooperative victim that we're still working on. And I heard there might have been a couple of minor demonstrations, but they weren't anything that required Eureka Police Department involvement. I think one was an anti-masking thing, and another had to do with the Trump's... what the anti-steal the election, or I can't remember what they call it.
No, so
type of event, yeah.
So one left, one right, kind of thing.
Something like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, that neutralizes things. The shooting, however, is a whole different ball game. Anything that you can share more than just what you just did?
Get a second, pull it up here again. We'll do some kind of press release today as well, so everyone can learn a little bit more. But. It wasn't the type of situation where your average, at least my impression, law-abiding citizen minding their own business ends up in a dangerous situation.
Gotcha. So yeah, that's got to be tough too. I mean, when the guys are responding, not knowing what you're running into or might run into, how do you train them so that they don't go in with an anticipation of something and then get caught by surprise rather than dealing with the circumstances as they present?
You know, it's just the nature of the business of policing is you never know what you're going to face. Even that's why we say there's no such thing as a routine call or routine patrol, because in our business, they often turn into anything but routine. And so that comes with mindset and training and just experience. You know, cops learn to be very adaptable and, can be quite creative at times when it's time to problem solve or confront a situation maybe you didn't expect to see. And the longer you've been in the business, the more adept you get at doing that. And so you just give them the best training that you can. You make that training ongoing, and then you trust them to get out there and do their job. And, some people sometimes fail to recognize just the millions of contacts officers have every year with people across this entire country and how relatively very few of those result in any use of force, let alone a deadly use of force or a shooting. But the way the media portrays it, it makes it sound like about every other time an officer is pulling out a gun and shooting someone unarmed, and that's far from the truth. Doesn't mean that there's not some incidences across the country that we have to own and prevent in the future, but by and large, You know, the vast majority are handled with the professional restraint that people have come to rightfully expect of their officers.
Yeah, if you look at the national numbers, not through commentary, but just through facts, the numbers tend to portray a whole different picture than what is often depicted in the media.
Absolutely.
Okay, we're in agreement. Adaptability. I mean, when I think of personalities that are flexible, that can go with the wind and kind of keep things going, cops aren't one of those professions that often comes to mind. How do you encourage that? Is that like with outside hobbies as well as some of the training? Because it would be beneficial, I would think, for the individuals too if they were able to take that and extend it into all parts of their life, so they can then handle and process some of these things that you guys deal with all the time.
Oh yeah, you're hitting a few different important themes here, but you know, when you look at let's say the term officer safety that is so often mentioned and it's drilled into us from day one of the academy and through field training, and then it seems like every day throughout our career, because there are a lot of great risks in the profession of policing. But officer safety has to be holistic. It's more than just strapping on your bullet-resistant vest and your firearm and the other tools. It also speaks to your emotional, spiritual, and mental well-being, because let's face it, first responders, whether they're an ER nurse or a paramedic or a firefighter, an officer, whatever, they swim in a toxic soup at times of the worst that happens to society. They see a lot of tragedy, and that really weighs on you over time. And if you don't have healthy outlets, not just at work and a good support system at work, but also at home, you can really do a lot of damage to yourself and your relationships over time.
And we'll talk a little bit about some of those techniques when we come back. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Chief Steve Watson. Steve, last week it was kind of a rough week. Had a pedestrian get hit, which, I don't know, I had heard a story, and I think it was in the local news, that per capita, Eureka leads the state in pedestrian, you can't call it a collision, a vehicle pedestrian incidents. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I don't have the latest statistics right now, but if you look historically, the last probably more than a decade, and certainly the last, I think, report that was out 2-3 years ago, Eureka definitely per capita is at the high end, the top end of the I guess you could call it the pedestrian fatality rate for our size. Now, you have to keep in mind when they calculate those figures, this is, you know, generic all across jurisdictions with the same census population. It doesn't account for things like 101 running through the middle of our city, which is not the case in every city we're compared to, as well as a service population during the daytime that nearly doubles our nighttime population, and it would put us into a different category. So people need to keep that in mind. That would lower our rating somewhat, but you know, it's also fair to say that we're all aware that, you know, traffic safety issues such as pedestrians, you know, continues to be an area of great concern, you know, in the city, and unfortunately has been for a very long time.
I'm surprised it's not higher.
Yeah, for 101, and so it limits what the city can do in terms of traffic engineering, though we do try to have a good partnership with them.
Right. Well, I mean, with all the individuals, I guess it is a good Monday if I'm saying individuals instead of what flashed in my head. the individual is using the merging lane as like a safety island and dressing in black and walking across the street. I had one coming down Indy Reek off the Samoa Bridge last night, three all black dressed, walking from the alley across into the that gas station area.
Yep.
Didn't slow down, didn't look. Somebody swerved. The only reason I saw that there was anything there was somebody swerved that was in the lane to turn into Target.
Yeah, you know, and this is a sensitive topic because the truth is, if you look at our collisions, I just talked to our traffic expert about this, Sergeant Whitmer, a couple of days ago, and he's seen the whole gamut for years and been part of many efforts to reduce these numbers and all of that. But so many of the pedestrian serious injuries or fatalities, unfortunately, are people that are heavily under the influence of alcohol or a controlled substance, crossing outside a sidewalk, often at night, or wearing dark clothing. There's a lot of factors that go into this. Now, it is important to note, one, that's not all cases, and two, it doesn't decrease their value as a human being or the tragedy in any way, nor does it remove the drivers from their responsibility, regardless of what pedestrians are doing or not doing, to drive with due regard, to be alert, to drive defensively, and to slow down.
Right, but it does explain it.
Yeah, you know, but here's the truth. If we want to reduce these tragic pedestrian versus vehicle collisions, again, when you look at the, I'll say the victim factor, that means we need to continue to address the issue of homelessness and severe mental illness and substance abuse, because there is a correlation to some of our increases, to people that are experiencing those things being a contributing factor to the accident. At the same time, we want to continue to encourage drivers to just be alert. And again, slow down and exercise extra caution, especially in the city like Eureka, where we have all these cross streets and pedestrians and some other risk factors that go in there.
Well, yeah, but even with that, if you're going 35, what I mean, you're familiar with the traffic studies and some of the stuff from Sacramento when you guys are at the academy. How long does it take for somebody to come to a complete stop if you're going 35? And foot on the accelerator to be able to bring that vehicle, and we're not talking cement trucks, just regular rigs, yeah, to a stop.
Yeah, I mean, that also depend on the surface conditions, you know, how slick
okay.
the roads are and your vehicle characteristics and things. But yeah, it's not instant. You don't stop on a dime. And so that's why distracted driving, you've got to be extra careful, you know, to not be looking at your cell phone or messing with the CD. Does anyone use CDs anymore in their cars? I don't know. But, you got to be paying attention because there's that delay, you know, when you finally observe a threat, you orientate to it, you have to make a decision of what you're going to do, and then you have to act, and that loop there, you know, takes precious time away in addition to your vehicle's mechanical stopping distance. So again, distracted driving can be a real issue. We need to work on that, you know, as well. And so to tackle this problem is going to take coming at it from all sides, not only pedestrian risk factors, traffic engineering, you know, concerns, as well as driver awareness.
Has the extra set of stoplights on Broadway helped slow things down? Have you seen a change? Are you still getting speeding? Are people trying to blow through that?
I don't have that data yet. That's something that will be looked at in conjunction, I think, with traffic engineering here in the future. So I can't quite give you that answer. I do know that the city is working with Caltrans, and this has been a passion project of some council members as well, to look at some of these pedestrian crossing islands, or whatever they're calling them, because you know there's these long stretches of Broadway, frankly, where there isn't a place for a pedestrian to cross the street in a marked crossway. And so can we reduce some of these issues maybe by creating some of these safety areas, so to speak? Only time will tell, because again, there's a lot of factors, but that would speak more to the engineering side of things, not just the pedestrian and driver
sure.
yeah. aspects.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hey community, times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. call Bear Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bear Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Eureka Police Chief Steve Watson. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redec, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and CDH Painting. Steve, looking at some of the different challenges that are out there, holiday season in the past, I mean, historically over the however many decades, don't leave presents out. Don't do this, don't do that, et cetera, et cetera. But with a change in buying habits and then with some of the state-imposed restrictions, are you as concerned that there's going to be more of that type of activity on a percentage basis because there's going to be less people out buying so that those predators attack fewer cars so it'll happen more often, or that it's the UPS trucks that we have to be concerned with and the porch pirate syndrome?
Yeah, well, this is an educated guess, but yeah, I think we are seeing less local shopping, especially if they reduce the number of patrons that can be in the business down to, 20% or 25% or whatever. And you're seeing people shop online even more, which means deliveries, which means the porch pirate issue. So people definitely need to continue to be vigilant with either having their goods delivered to a safe place. And sometimes those are made available. I don't have any off the top of my head at the moment, but sometimes to their work or to another relative that lives in a better location, make sure that they're monitoring when the deliveries are going to be so they can grab those packages and secure them before they sit out there for a long time, and things like that. There's crime is definitely, from the reports I'm reading, increasing in many areas across the country right now. Apparently in part to some of the factors related to the COVID pandemic and changing patterns of behavior, especially in some of the major cities in areas like gun violence and other violent crimes in particular. So it's something even here in Humboldt we're trying to be vigilant about and to do our best. I think people can do a lot to safeguard themselves and their homes, again, by the decisions they make, the patterns of behavior, some basic safety steps they can take to secure their homes, and their vehicles, not leaving things in plain view inside a car, for instance, secure those in the trunk, or better yet, get them out of the car, but definitely don't leave these bags and packages around on your floorboard or in your seat where possible, because that's going to make someone pick your car over the one next to it. And again, just being conscious with the delivery of online orders to your home. Hey, shop local when you can, and then avoid that problem altogether and support our local businesses during this time is a great thing as well.
Oh, I thought you got choked up there getting close to the economics of things.
Well, it's kind of interesting. The projections are coming in, I think, a bit better, particularly in Humboldt County, than originally projected. There's some ray of hope there, but what's going to happen with this latest change to the purple tier and now potentially the governor's new, much more restrictive order taking place if our ICU capacity in our region dips below 15%, it's kind of hard to say. It's like a tourniquet that completely shuts off the economic lifeline for a few industries like gyms and some other places where the risk is higher, and it definitely restricts that flow quite a bit to places like restaurants that would be required to do takeout and delivery and curbside pickup only with no inside or outside dining if we were to fall into that category. And that's real tough when we're in the holiday season right now. There is genuine hope on the horizon if we can just endure these next few months together. And if there's one thing I would just you got to do what you can do. I do think that wearing masks consistently is something everyone can do that is important. Even though I know there's some questions on the science behind that, but I think it's pretty clear. We're more safe when everyone wears masks than when they don't. And, so I think Humboldt as a whole, compared to a lot of other areas, has done a pretty good job with that. And I hope people continue to do so, as well as really limiting in-person inside gatherings. Really, like my wife and I, we only had Thanksgiving with our immediate family right there that lives on our property. And that's hard to do because you want to be with other people that you love. But during these kind of unprecedented times, we've just got to hold on through this holiday season. I think we're going to be okay coming into the summer.
Man, we made it half an hour before you said unprecedented times.
Yeah, it's kind of become...
I thought you were doing better than that.
Overused phrase, huh?
What about, you talked about the pickups, and I'm thinking of the restaurants. I know that there are laws in the city has got about how long you can park here, how long you can park there. Is a yellow zone suitable for somebody going in and picking up pre-ordered food, pre-ordered retail? Because typically, that's like where the UPS trucks park if they don't double park.
Yeah,
and the FedEx guys.
Zone, but you don't see a whole lot of yellow zones directly in front of the entrance to a restaurant.
Right. So
not that I've driven around and counted, but it doesn't seem like it's not like every restaurant has one in front on that. But, we're talking basically a very fast transaction.
Yeah.
In these cases, it's not like that kind of parking enforcement is at the top of the priority list. I mean,
so
they're likely to be gone before we would even get the call and get there.
Right. So, but would you feel comfortable if people use the yellow and the green for that purpose during this period when you can't go inside the restaurant itself if parking is an issue?
I think that the safest answer is just use the designated parking areas for their intended purposes.
Once a cop, always a cop. KINS News and Information Time is 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Watson. Steve, we've seen an awful lot of new folks in the area, either because of the fires, because of some of the escaping, the tourism season being kind of pushed later a little bit, a lot of RVs and things of that nature. Having folks that aren't as familiar with our area, are you guys seeing any impacts? I think the traditional one is somebody driving the wrong way on a one-way street. Are you seeing that kind of stuff a little bit later in the year, this year?
I don't have any data on that particular issue. I think that, at least anecdotally, it appears that we may have more vehicle campers in town, even though that's obviously a constant thing everywhere, but than usual. And you have that combination again, with another bad fire year and the COVID situation, people losing jobs and homes because of this and becoming, homeless and, passing through, and some not passing through. And so I think it's contributed to some of these issues, and it'll be, I think, important to take a hard look at what data we can here in a few months. Hopefully someone will be collecting that, on a broader scale. And the other side of this is, and again, this is more anecdotal and some, unconfirmed reports, but, I'm sure the real estate industry, will be able to speak to this at some point, but are we seeing an influx of people relocating to some of these more isolated counties up here on the North Coast from down south? For a combination of reasons, including maybe a sense of greater safety, in the midst of a pandemic and the challenges a lot of these big cities are facing, combined with the fact that we've kind of moved into a new level or reality of the ability to work remotely from home. And I don't think that's going to ever go back to the way that it was before this pandemic is. Certainly, yes, a lot of people will go back to a brick and mortar somewhere, but I think there's going to be a higher percentage of people that are able to do their jobs from another location, including their own homes. And that may be attractive to relocate from a much more expensive area and chaotic area south of us to a community like this, and where they can, you know, housing is less expensive, for instance. And so it'll be interesting to see what kind of impact that has on our own housing market up here.
Yeah, and talking to some of the real estate buddies, they're looking at a 5 or 10 year trend going the direction that it is, just for those very reasons. The portability,
yeah,
now,
this doesn't have a major impact on low income housing options, and rentals,
right,
because that's already a problem in many areas, including definitely here locally, that we've got to be able to get a handle on.
Yeah. And Miles on Friday was talking about some of those 2 and 3 bedroom apartment projects that are starting to kind of come into focus a little bit. That's really something,
yeah,
that's needed.
Yeah, it seems like there's some movement, definitely, in with the, whatever measure it was the county put forth that passed, that's going to enable some more opportunities in the unincorporated jurisdictions for some of these projects. Eureka has several projects in the works and already completed, both for the homeless and for lower income living, and some other things that are being planned. There's the whole the mother-in-law aspect, unit aspect,
right,
that, and so some things in the work that hopefully will improve the situation.
Well, continue having a great, wonderful, super duper Monday, okay?
Yeah, well, ask me after the Niners game.
We'll all know that the same time. Thanks, bud.
All right.
We've been talking with Steve Watson. See everybody tomorrow.